the general manager of the Buffalo Bills, Doug Whaley. Doug, thanks for coming by.
Exciting times, Murph. Thanks for having me.
Training camp, you're the first team in the league in training camp. That feels pretty good, doesn't it?
It feels good. Not so good on our summer vacation, but it feels good. No, it's time to get started. We're excited, and we're happy to be here. It's really great out here at St. John Fisher. They treat us right.
You know, the Bills are, by my count, one of 14 teams that go off-site for training camp. A new trend is to stay at home. Why is it important for this team, from a football sense, to go off-site, do you think?
Well, Coach believes, and we believe as a philosophy, that it's a great team-building exercise. And you concentrate on nothing but football, less outside stimuli as possible, and you get to know people that otherwise you may not spend time with. So it's a bonding experience, and we think it's a good precursor to building a solid team foundation.
Your background from you working with the Steelers, they've for almost 50 years they've been at St. Vincent's College in Latrobe, and that's one of those places, kind of like this, where, you know, the Latrobe and St. Vincent's is identified with that franchise, just as the Bills are with this place now.
Absolutely, and I think it's a great symbiotic relationship. We get a lot of work done, quality work done here, and it gives St. John Fisher a great exposure.
What is it about this college that makes it a good training camp site, about the setup here?
For us, it's the proximity of everything between the locker room, the fields, and where they sleep, and the classrooms. They may have to walk maybe 50 to 75 yards max. And what you want to do, especially in camp, and as long as we're going to be at camp, is try to limit the amount of time those guys are on their legs when they're not practicing. So this is a great setup for that point.
We're talking with Doug Whaley, the general manager of the Buffalo Bills, on this, the first night of the 2014 training camp. Hey, Doug, I had a conversation with your predecessor, Buddy Nix, around the time of the last minicamp. It kind of an informal conversation, but he made a point of saying that he felt like this roster was set up well this year, and maybe he looked at it from the 5 years when he took over the roster, and now, of course, the last 2 years you've been the general manager. But he felt like over the last 5 years it's been a pretty serious and successful rebuilding project for that roster.
And we're excited about it. And, I mean, we look at the position battles this camp, at safety, at wide receiver, at offensive line, and then the depth at linebacker. Losing Kiko was a blow, but we feel we have people on campus that can step in and fill the void of Kiko.
You found out about Kiko a couple of weeks ago. What sort of update do you have on him?
Just from what his campus said, the surgery went successful. ACL, Jim Andrews did it, so we're excited to have him come back. He'll be back after we break camp, get him in some rehab stints, and he'll come back better than ever. He's done this before, so he's got a familiarity with what to expect with this injury and the timetable. So it's not great news, but at least he's being positive about it.
You know, Kiko had such an outstanding rookie year, getting in every snap, and a lot of us were excited to see what he'd do outside. Like, maybe his athleticism would be turned loose even more so on the outside. It's got to be kind of a blow, kind of a disappointment that he's not going to be able to show that this year.
Oh, absolutely. It's a disappointment for all involved. But, again, we feel that our level of expectations is not going to change. I mean, we lost a important part of our defense, but no one's going to cry for us, so we got to keep going on.
Who are the candidates to replace Kiko, would you think?
I would say it'd be Preston Brown, Nigel Bradham, Ty Powell, and then Keith Rivers. Between those guys, the one will be the Will, one will be the Sam. I don't know exactly right now which one is going to slide over and try to go with the Will position, but those are the candidates.
Tell me about Preston Brown, who you and a lot of others liked in the OTAs and minicamp.
I tell you, the thing we liked about him, when you look at him on film, he played inside, and he was a good run stuffer. But what we've seen since we've had him, and actually when we went to the Louisville workout, for a guy 250-plus, he moves around very well. So we are excited to see him in coverage, and we think with his movement skills, he'll be able to do that.
Ty Powell is a name that might not be all that familiar to many Bills fans listening in. What do you know about him? What do you like about him?
We like about, first of all, last year he came in. We got him off the practice squad. We picked him off someone's practice squad. He came in, did very well on special teams. He was a defensive end coming out of college, so we know he can rush the passer. He's making the conversion to linebacker, and he's thrown himself all into it. He's learned it. It's going to take some time just to get a feel for it, But he's a guy that's given 110%, and we're excited to see where he can go.
Hey, Doug, this defense did a lot of good things well last year, and yet you've rebuilt the linebacking core, and now with Kiko out, but you've got Brandon Spikes and Keith Rivers, and it's going to be pretty much an entirely new cast of characters playing linebacker for you this year.
It will be, but we believe with those horses we got up front, they should be okay, because those guys, from what I understand, are taught to wreak havoc and have the linebackers just clean up behind them.
Has it been tough to make last year's defensive personnel fit into the scheme this year?
I don't think so. And talking to Coach Schwartz, everybody tries to label 3-4, 4-3. For us, and especially me scouting and our scouting staff, that's just the difference between a guy putting his hand down and a guy standing up. Responsibilities are similar. In the 4-3, you won't have the guys dropping in coverage, but sometimes guys get exotic and have those guys drop as well.
You mentioned a minute ago about the depth you have at the safety spot. Talk about, you lost Jairus Byrd. Talk about the candidates to replace Jairus Byrd back there.
Well, first of all, I want to start with Aaron Williams. We're excited about Aaron. We think once he got back there last year and settled in, we think there's a star in there waiting to come out, and we're expecting big things from him. Duke Williams, you got a guy that's similar in the mold of Aaron Williams, a guy that played corner, that's physical and can cover, and that will help us dictate to the offense of what to do. Instead of putting in another nickel or cornerback, you can have a safety come down with a run presence, but also the ability to cover. Meeks had a great spring. He's making plays. Last year, that was the one thing we were concerned about. He'd always be in the right place, but he didn't make the play. And in the spring, he stepped up and he was making some plays. And then,
Searcy back there as well.
Searcy back there as well. And Searcy, he did a great job playing that nickel role for us. But people also know that when Byrd wasn't playing, he started for us. So he's got the upper hand with the experience. But it's going to be a good battle, and it's going to be interesting. And as we always say, competition brings out the best in everybody.
You mentioned Aaron Williams a minute ago. Coach Schwartz said something towards the end of minicamp about what a big hitter Aaron Williams was last year. And I think that snuck by a lot of people. He delivers some pretty big hits. Well, you need a guy back there doing that.
Absolutely. We need, we need a toll collector back there.
I like that. What role do you see Corey Graham playing? Coach Marone mentioned maybe he's in the mix at safety, but certainly most of his playing experience has been at the cornerback spot.
One thing we looked at when we brought Corey Graham in is injuries obviously are part of the game, and last year we lost two corners, and we didn't want to have to move Aaron. We didn't have to move anybody around to compensate for the lack of depth. So Corey automatically brings us depth. He'll be fighting for outside nickel, and in a pinch we would move him back to safety, but I think we're going to concentrate on him in the corner position right now.
You do have depth at corner, and when you think about it, you have really good depth with Gilmore back, with McKelvin probably not long for on the shelf here. You do have some players back there at corner now.
Absolutely, and it's a pass-happy league, so that's a position where you need as many as possible, and like I said, injuries are going to play a part in it, and if we do have an injury or two, we'll still be able to put quality performers out there on the field.
I want to ask you a couple of questions about the offense, Doug. Doug Whaley is our guest, the general manager of the Bills. You and I had a conversation 6 months ago at the Senior Bowl when you talked about your commitment to E.J. Manuel and your commitment to get better around him on offense. Do you feel like you've accomplished that?
We think so. With the additions of the running backs we added, the offensive linemen, and then, of course, Sammy Watkins. And the one thing with adding additions around E.J., it shows E.J. we're committed to him, but it also lets E.J. know that he doesn't have to put the weight of the world on his shoulders. Just do what you do. Keep getting better every year, but we're going to have people around you to help you out.
The trade up for Sammy Watkins, a bold move. Have you, in the 2 months since then, have you reflected much on what you managed to pull off at the draft 2 months ago?
That's 2 months ago. I'm ready for start of the camp.
That was big.
It was big. And the one thing that I was taught in this business, if the deal makes sense, don't be afraid to pull the trigger. And we sat down and we thought, if we have a chance to get the best offensive weapon in the draft, that's going to make our team better. That's going to make our quarterback better. And it's also going to make the way defensive play us, they have to think about it now. They have to game plan for CJ. They got a game plan for Sammy. So these and then Marquise Goodwin. So who are you going to take away? So that gives us options, and it helps us and Nathaniel call the game.
What did you think of Sammy, what you saw of him at minicamp? Was it pretty much what you expected?
Exactly what we expected. A fierce competitor. Actually, he did better than I expected. He is not a prima donna. He comes in and works like he's an undrafted free agent. And I knew he was a hard worker, but I didn't know he had that mindset that, hey, I'm trying to make the team just like everybody else. But his physical abilities were exactly the way we pegged him.
I watched him make catches during the mini camps outside of his body frame, and I thought he can make EJ and all these quarterbacks look better. He can improve their accuracy with the kind of catches he can make.
Exactly, and that's one of the reasons why we said this guy will help us. This guy will help us get better.
What does Mike Williams bring to your receiving corps?
He brings a size aspect and an aspect of being able to make a catch when he's covered. He's a strong body guy. He can get position, and he has strong hands. So very rarely are you going to see him getting stripped from a catch. You know, guys come in and try to strip the ball away. His hands are strong, and he can post up on guys. So we're excited about that.
You know, during the minicamps, we watched Chris Hogan make plays and some other guys. The competition should be fierce at the wide receiver spot.
It is, and that's what makes this camp so exciting. Like I said before, the competition at wide receiver, the competition at corner we talked about, the competition at safety, and then the competition offensive line, and even in running backs. So this is an exciting, and it goes back to what Buddy says. That's when you think you're taking that step where you have competition, and if you lose a guy, the level expectation is not going to dip because you have a guy that's behind him that has been pushing him, and that's just going to make everybody better and make our team better.
You went out and got three rookie offensive linemen in the draft. Can you talk about them and what you hope to see from them out here in the next 5 weeks?
Yeah, Centrell Henderson, we know his demons off the field. We think he's got a hold of those things, and he's a talented guy. And we feel that, again, if he didn't have those demons, he would have been probably in the first round. So we're excited to see him translate that to the field. And with Cordy being out, he's going to be our starting left tackle right now. Quanjo, road grading, old school right tackle. He's got some length that will help him in his pass protection because it makes a bigger arc for the guy to get around him. Gives EJ maybe a split more second if he does get beat. And then Richardson, I mean, just size inside. If you look at the teams we play, they have a lot of them are 3-4 guys with big interior defensive linemen. So we got to match those guys. And he's a tough, again, road grading offensive lineman that is just loves to move people against their will.
Any idea how long you're going to have to be without Cordy Glenn?
At this time, we do not know. We're hoping that we'll just have to see how he progresses.
Doug Whaley, our guest, just a few more questions for you, Doug. EJ, how has he looked to you in the offseason, the mini camps and the OTAs?
I think he's progressing well. There's good days and bad days, but that's to be expected when they threw the whole book at him. Now we're in camp. They're going to start narrowing down his focus and get him to have a greater command of the offense. So we're excited about what we saw in the spring, and we think he's going to continue to get better.
Do you fear that he might feel that he has the weight of the franchise on his shoulders?
Well, again, that's why we went back to and we're telling him, hey, listen, look at the playmakers you have around you. You don't have to be the playmaker. And that's what the Sammy Watkins is for, the CJ, the Fred, the Bryce Browns, the Dixons, you know, Tony Moyaki, Chris Gregg, Marquise Goodwin. Those guys are there to help him. So he doesn't have to feel like, hey, this is all on my shoulders. Hey, I just have to do what I'm told to do, everybody else, and get it to the playmakers and let them do their job.
Doug, it's a long training camp, a trip to Canton, Ohio, a trip to 3 or 4 days in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. At the end of it, say 5 weeks from today, what do you hope to have accomplished at this training camp?
Come out healthy. Hopefully come out healthy, have a better sense on those position battles of who's going to be on our starting lineup, and then getting tuned up ready for the season. And obviously see a healthy EJ just keep progressing and getting better.
I hope you stay healthy. That's number one.
That's the main goal.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, John.
Doug Whaley, general manager of the Buffalo Bills, our guest, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from Bills Training Camp on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're live at Buffalo Bills Training Camp, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, and some of the players, some of the newer players, Booby Dixon out there taking a look at the Grownie Stadium. That's where it all happens out there, Booby. That's where it's all going on out there. We're right outside Grownie Stadium with a couple of Buffalo Bills as they arrive on the scene, taking a look at the scene here. It's a beautiful night in Pittsford, New York. As the sun begins to set, 72 degrees the temperature. We're here until 9 o'clock tonight. Coming up next hour, we're going to hear from Aaron Williams, Bills safety, is going to join us at 8:30. And Scott Petoniak, longtime sports writer for the Rochester papers, will be joining us at 8 o'clock. Some really interesting things in the Doug Whaley interview. Maybe you want to comment on those. Phone lines are open, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We talked about hope a lot going into the show. Like, what are your hopes and expectations for the Buffalo Bills season? A couple of tweets on that, some interesting ones. Be More Finest tweets, and I expect the Bills to be tougher and make an impact in the division. And Bills Mafia to love EJ and Sammy. Tougher. Yeah, that's a good thing to hope for. Andy Mack tweets, my hope and optimism is definitely being tested with losing Kiko and now Glenn being a question mark. What gives, football gods? Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to. And then one more tweet, Mike Weston tweets, and we're going 10-6. I don't want to jump the gun on Cordy Glenn. He is, and you heard Doug Whaley talk about it. They're awaiting further tests. They do not believe that Cordy Glenn's illness is going to be a season-threatening illness at this time. They'll get more tests done. He will do some light exercise work on the side. I wouldn't jump the gun on that being a serious injury yet. Let's wait and see before we get too wrapped up in that. But I did think it was interesting that Whaley said that Chantrell Henderson, seventh-round pick, you know, they say he is, he's with Cordy being out, that's what Whaley said, he's our starting left tackle right now. It's a big jump for him, seventh rounder. But as Whaley points out, they believe that Henderson would probably have been in the first round if he didn't have those off-field issues during his time at Miami. A very highly rated high school prospect, Chantrell Henderson, they think would have been a first-round pick. And now he's going to get a chance to line up and play with the first teamers at left tackle. And the question about the offensive lineman that came up, you heard, I think you heard Doug Whaley talk about Cyrus Kwanjo, second round pick. Many people wondered why not switch him over to left tackle. They believe Kwanjo, as he puts it, is a road grading starting right tackle in the making. I don't believe they want to throw him over there on the left side and confuse him. Here's a call from Joe in Williamsville. Joe, what's on your mind tonight? What about your hopes for the Bills season?
Hey, Tim, how you doing? Love your show, man.
Thank you.
Hey, I know everybody's calling in and saying, you know, they hope we make the playoffs. I just hope we become a team that will continue to get better each and every year. You know, I see us going about 9-7 this year. I mean, we got a tough schedule towards the end of the year. But what I really want to talk about is, you know, I love that we picked up Sammy Watkins. I love it. He's going to be a star. He's going to be the next Calvin Johnson, A.J. Green, these big-time receivers that make big-time plays. And, you know, just by themselves, they had a couple wins to their team. But that being said, with Sammy Watkins being the star on our team, I think that's going to open it up for Marquise Goodwin and Robert Woods. I think those three are our core of you know, of our wide receivers. I think it's going to be a really fun year. I think EJ is going to get relaxed after a couple games. And but the one thing that I would love to see the Bills do, my expectations, I would love to see the Bills not be so conservative. I would love to see, now it's not going to happen, but I would love to see, you know, first play of the season, I would love to see a flea flicker to Sammy Watkins or Marquise Goodwin and going straight for a touchdown. I mean, that's pretty much all I got to say, John. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks, Joe. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, I don't know, conservative. I don't know what people mean by conservative. They're a running football team. Does that mean they're a conservative team? They were one of the top running football teams in the league last year, and they ran the ball just about more than anybody else in the league last year. Does that mean they're conservative? I don't think so. So I don't know when you say I don't want them to be so conservative. They push tempo just about as hard as anybody, including the up-tempo Philadelphia Eagles. Does that make them a conservative team? I don't think so. I just have a hard time characterizing the Bills' offense as conservative. To run a flea flicker on the first play from scrimmage, well, yeah, if you can, if it makes a big play, then I'm all for it. But I do think, you know, you got to – the first play from scrimmage in the season doesn't really mean a whole lot. Let's evaluate it after a game or a couple of games or a handful of games or a season to say whether they're conservative or not. But some interesting points there. Hopes and expectations for the season. We'll continue the discussion after the top of the hour. We're going to continue the discussion with Scott Petoniak, longtime Rochester sports writer, who'll be joining us after the top of the hour, and we'll leave the phone lines open for him if you want to weigh in on that or anything else about the Bills. Scott covers the AFC East for USA Today Sports Weekly, so we'll get a sense of him on what's going on the other teams in the division. That's coming up after the top of the hour. 1 hour in the books, one more hour to go tonight. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live from Buffalo Bills training camp on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's got good.
time is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands.
This crowd is absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour two of the show. We're live from Buffalo Bills training camp with the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We're here a lot over the next 5 weeks, a long training camp for the Bills. Lots of time for us to talk about the upcoming season. Lots of time for you to join us as well. Phone lines open, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You already heard in the first hour Bills General Manager Doug Whaley, and you heard many issues he addressed, including E.J. Manuel, including Chantrell Henderson, seventh-round pick, who right now, with Cordy Glenn being sidelined, he's going to be the starting left tackle, at least for now, going into camp until they figure out when Cordy Glenn can resume practice. Whaley saying it does not appear to be a season-threatening illness for Cordy Glenn, but we'll keep an eye on that. A guy who keeps an eye on the Buffalo Bills and the rest of the AFC East joins us now. He's been keeping an eye on the Bills for decades now. Longtime sports writer here in the Rochester area. He is a contributor to USA Today Sports Weekly. He covers the AFC East for USA Today Sports Weekly. He is a columnist on sports for the Rochester Business Journal. He, you can read him on Twitter at Right Fielder. Author of several books, including Color Him Orange, the Jim Boeheim story, the Buffalo Bills football vault, the first 50 seasons, and Jukebox Hero, the Lou Gramm biography. Our old pal Scott Pitoniak from Rochester joins us live on the line right now. Scott, hello. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, Murph. When you said decades, boy, you really like to make me feel old, don't you?
Well, how about this? I'm talking to people now. I work with people who said to me today, how many camps is this for you? You know how many camps this is for me, Scott, covering the Bills? Not even as a fan, but covering the Bills? This is my 33rd.
Yeah, this is my 30th. So I think you and I think Chuck Pollock of the Olean Times Herald, he's in his 40s now as far as camps are concerned. So I think we're the senior citizens of the group right now.
We certainly are. Yeah, it feels good, though. And I enjoy coming to camp, Scott. I enjoy coming down here to Rochester, and I've learned to embrace it now in its 15th year. Tell me what this camp has meant to the Buffalo Bills and to the Rochester area now in its 15th year, Scott.
Well, I think it's meant a lot because, you know, for the longest time, you know, Rochester has been the second largest market in terms of ticket sales and so forth. So I think it was a logical move to bring it here. You know, Russ obviously is a St. John Fisher alumnus, Russ Brandon. So it made perfect sense. But, you know, I think the community's embraced it. It's become part of, you know, the summer sports scene here, really. And, you know, it's not as maybe popular as it was in the first few years, but it's still very, very popular. And you know, there's going to be big crowds out there, people, you know, wanting to see if E.J. Manuel is turned the corner and if Sammy Watkins is the real deal and so forth. So they still get these huge crowds. And you and I know, like, I mean, even at 8:00 in the morning, those stands will be packed for practices. It's really astounding to me sometimes to think about that. I mean, a bunch of guys running around and sometimes in shorts and helmets, and people are still oohing and aahing.
You know, Scott, we've been talking to a lot of fans on our radio show all week about training camp and what they like about training camp. And the one thing that comes through, it was true back in the Fredonia days, you were there as well, and I think it's even more true now. Training camp gives these fans a real opportunity to interact with players one-on-one. I mean, you can get any autograph you basically want. You can talk to players in a relaxed, informal setting. Oh, by the way, it's free to come and watch practice. It really, I think, in the world of professional sports, training camp on site, off the campus, like off the campus of One Bills Drive like this, is sort of unique now. There's only 14 teams that do this, go off site now for training camp.
Yeah, I like it. You know, I think it's a good thing. I think you touched upon it. It's kind of an intimate atmosphere that you really don't get, obviously, during the regular season. There's no public access to practices. You know, game day, everybody's tense and focusing on the game and so forth. They're not, you know, interacting usually with the crowd. I mean, they do at times if things are going well or so forth, or trying to get the crowd into the game. You'll see guys on the sidelines and so forth. But, yeah, this is a, you know, it's a little bit more relaxed, particularly for the veteran players usually, and it's a good chance for them to get up close and personal with the fans and to have some fun you know, there's some leather lungs who you can hear for miles away, in the stands at Fisher and stuff. And I think the players kind of like hearing from them, and you'll hear some cheers and stuff. And sometimes you think, like, you know, these guys have been tailgating for just for coming out here for practices and stuff. So yeah, I kind of liken it a little bit to like spring training in baseball. Where there is more of a sense of intimacy there, closeness. And you think about sports, as the money has gotten bigger and bigger and the pressure has gotten greater and greater, we've lost a lot of that intimacy or accessibility that, you know, athletes and fans have. And I think this is one of those rare experiences where you can still have that.
Scott Pitoniak live on the line with us. He covers the AFC East for USA Today Sports Weekly, longtime Rochester sports writer. Hey, Scott, it amazes me, and again, 15 years in, it amazes me the transformation of this campus here at St. John Fisher College. Probably not wholly part in due to what the Buffalo Bills have done, but certainly the Bills have brought a higher profile and maybe some of the money and development that we've seen on this campus over the last 15 years, haven't they?
Yeah, without question, it's been a very, very beneficial thing for St. John Fisher, the university, in particular the football program. I think, if you talk to Paul Vosburgh, the St. John Fisher coach, there's no question that I just think some of the upgrades in the facilities, the locker rooms, the fields, that have come about as a result of hosting the Bills here, has really, really helped the program. And plus, to be able to say that. I think it's increased the visibility of St. John Fisher and has helped in recruiting. You go out and say, "Oh yeah, that's where the Buffalo Bills train." And I think that, that adds something. I think it still makes an impression where, a kid will come here and, go into that locker room that's been totally revamped and stuff and think like, "Wow, this is, where so and so Fred Jackson, has used this locker room and CJ Spiller and so forth." And I think, I think that has an impact, and of course Ralph Wilson has been he was incredibly generous, in building academic buildings and helping contribute money to some of the programs there on campus. So it's been a great windfall for Fisher, without question.
Scott Pitoniak joins us, who's covered the Bills for a long, long time, and he'll be here at training camp as the practices start up. One theme of some of the questioning today, Scott, as the players checked in, was, and it shouldn't come as any surprise, the lack of, I guess, respect the Buffalo Bills are getting from national prognosticators going into this season. After so many years without a playoff spot, after just 6 wins a year ago, that's to be expected, although I don't know if it's warranted because of the collection of talent they have assembled here. What do you think?
Well, I think, I think you've hit on it. I think, there's kind of a, show me attitude about the Bills nationally. When you've gone 14 years without making the playoffs, that is a natural skepticism, I think. But I think there's no question, when I look at this roster that's been totally revamped, really, and turned over, in a matter of years here, that there's been a tremendous upgrade. I think the overall team speed and athleticism is far superior to where this team was, a year ago, 2 years ago, certainly 3-4 years ago. You've got some people that can really move now, and I think that's very, very important. But the proof is going to be in the pudding. You're not going to convince people on a national scale that things have changed until you actually change them. And I think even sometimes among the Bills fan base, we've had a couple of teasing starts and then it falls apart and so forth. So there's just there's a natural wait and see attitude. And again, I think from the outside nationally and, talking to writers in other markets, particularly, in the other AFC East cities and stuff, it's going to come down to the quarterback issue. Can E.J. Manuel, find the decision-making skills and the accuracy, particularly on the deep and intermediate throws, to help this team go to another level. But I have a feeling, John, when we talk about the overall talent upgrade, I don't think EJ has to be Jim Kelly reincarnated. I just think he has to be you know, a good, solid leader and quarterback out there, you know. So he certainly has to make, you know, a good progression from last season. But he doesn't have to be all world, because there are, I mean, I look at that running back core and I challenge people to show me a deeper, more talented running back core in the NFL than what the Bills have. So there's playmakers there. Clearly, I think, you know, we're talking about Sammy Watkins. You know, it's tough to get a rookie to come in and be an immediate impact player, particularly at wide receiver. But I'm intrigued by seeing, like, you know, a Robert Wood and in that second year, you know, I'm excited about him. I think he can be, you know, he can really be something this year. And, you know, so I think that overall skill level, the number of playmakers, you know, on offense, it's all there, you know, for EJ. You know, I'm a little concerned with this news with Cordy Glenn, you know, because I think there was a guy who was really coming on, you know, and is really becoming a good player and stuff. So you got to have some concerns about that. But, you know, it is going to come down to EJ, but I don't think he has to be all world for this team to finally get into the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, and Doug Whaley just said to us last hour, Scott, about EJ, you know, they don't want him to feel like he's got the weight of the franchise on his shoulders. They want him to keep getting better, but they have tried to surround him with talent. I don't think they know exactly what they have in EJ Manuel yet, but, and I kind of admire this about Whaley and Marrone, they're all in with EJ. I mean, they know that they're all in with him, even though nobody really knows. I don't know if he's going to make it or not, but the Bills decision makers have decided to put their faith and hope in EJ Manuel. They have to be, I guess, at this point.
Yeah, I mean it's a gamble, you know, and you're putting all the chips there, and let's see it happen. But you know, it's going to be very, very interesting to watch. And I know a lot of people, you know, many in the media and certainly many fans, you know, have given up and said, you know, he's never going to be anything. And I just think it's just kind of a harsh assessment right now. I mean, I don't know either, you know, and I have my doubts. But I look at, you know, you had such a small sample size there of 10 games. You know, you had the three separate knee injuries in a four-month span. So we're going to see. You know, yeah, there's questions about his decision-making. There's questions about his accuracy. There's questions about his durability. But, you know, I mean, give him a chance, and they are all in. And it's just, you know, either they're going to, you know, hit big, or they're going to, you know, their jobs might be on the line.
Sure. We're on the line with Scott Pitoni, a Rochester sports writer. It's the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from Bills Training Camp. Scott is covers the AFC East for USA Today Sports Weekly. So how do the Bills stack up in that scrum behind the Patriots? I guess we concede, because of Tom Brady mostly, we concede first place in the division to the Patriots. I know the Bills wouldn't look at it that way, but behind them it's kind of a scrum with three teams with almost similar situations at quarterback, it seems, Scott.
Yeah, it's very intriguing because I think they have the similar situations at quarterback, and also coaches being on varying degrees of hot seats, you know, that they really have to produce in this season. You know, obviously, you know, in the case of both Rex Ryan and Philbin, Joe Philbin of the Dolphins, and Rex Ryan of the Jets, I think, you know, it's playoffs or bust. They're losing their jobs if their teams don't get in the playoffs. But, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, obviously, you look at the situation in New York, you know, with Geno Smith, and there's serious doubts about whether or not he's the guy. You know, had a lot of problems protecting the football. You know, I think he turned it over about 25 times last year. Not very accurate, like 58% or whatever. And then down in Miami, you know, with Ryan Tannehill's going into his third season, and it's kind of a make or break season in some respect. I do think if you look at it last year, he did show some improvement. But look at the situation he's got now, because they got a totally revamped offensive line. Now, you could make the argument like, well, big deal. Look at last year's offensive line. They yielded 58 sacks. But I think not having Mike Pouncey at center is a real huge blow for them, and he could be gone, John, for as many as six games from what I'm hearing. You know, they may want to put him on that, you know, that IR list where he wouldn't be eligible until, what, you know, week 7 or whatever. So they've got some serious issues. And with the Jets, it's not only, you know, Smith, but they're hoping Eric Decker is the playmaker, because they're the team that, you know, and they're also putting a big gamble that Chris Johnson is going to find the form, you know, of 2 or 3 years ago. And that's a big gamble as well. So they are clustered. There's no question about it. And it's going to be interesting in each city to see how these scenarios, you know, play out.
Is there a playoff team in that group of three?
Yeah, I mean, I think any of the three has the potential. I really do, if certain things go right, you know, particularly with their quarterback situations. And that's the key. Again, the Bills have to show me, and I'm not going to predict that they're going to be a playoff team, but I do look at the overall potential, and if it clicks in and he takes some real positive steps forward, there's no reason they can't be. I mean, you know, obviously the Bills have some big issues. Kiko Alonso, the loss of him, I think is really, you know, a big loss, because he's a playmaker. And, you know, they say they have some answers for Jarris Bird and stuff, but, you know, Bird was a pretty darn good player too, and I can't minimize, you know, those two losses on defense. So, but I think any of them have the potential. I mean, you know, Tannehill, he doubled his touchdown pass total, increased his accuracy a bit. So, he was take some more steps forward, but that's a big if, you know, behind, they're going to have five new starters on their offensive line come opening day. And that's an awful lot to ask, even though you brought in a Brandon Albert, who is a good, solid left tackle. The Jets situation, they could potentially, you know, that could be a mess. It really could. You know, if they've got to put Michael Vick in there, and you know, John, there's no patience in New York. And so even if in the preseason you start seeing Geno's getting, you know, throwing picks or, you know, missing receivers and stuff, the clamoring's going to start. You know, it may not even wait till the regular season that could just be a total mess if that happens.
Talking with Scott Pitoniak, Rochester sports writer, covers the AFC East for USA Today Sports Weekly. Let's work in a couple of phone calls here. Brian from Naples, Florida. Brian, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, guys, just wanted to call in, let you know I'm a big fan of you. I've been a diehard Buffalo Bills fan all my life. Unfortunately, I got to live in Southwest Florida to do it. But had a couple of questions, maybe get some insight from both of you. Just on, you know, the motivation for the team as a whole to succeed this season. I don't know if you know the passing of Ralph Wilson and maybe losing Kiko Alonso, just different type of things that might motivate us to, you know, have a better season than, you know, projected by most analysts. And the situation on the defensive coordinator switching regularly, is there going to be any stability in that in the future, or do you have any insight on that whatsoever?
Okay, a couple of questions there. Scott, I think as far as motivation, one thing, and it's been mentioned with uncertainty about who the next owner is, there's plenty of motivated people in the Bills organization to want to impress whoever winds up owning the team. Don't you agree?
I totally agree. Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, the way I look at it, John, it's like, you know, from top to bottom, everybody's auditioning for their job. I mean, it's no different than in our business. You know, you get a new program manager, you get a new editor or whatever. You know, you've got to prove yourselves. So I definitely think that that's the case. And it's not, I don't say that as a panic mode or anything, but let's face it, you know, a new person comes in and they might, you know, give you another year just to assess things, or they might just, you know, assess right now and say like, okay, this is not where I want it. And, you know, and new people, you know, a new owner could have his own people already in place and decide like, okay, it doesn't matter. It didn't work here. You didn't make the playoffs again. So I'm going to bring my people in right now and do it. So yeah, that's clear, a clear motivation. And that's, you know, that's everywhere in the organization from what I see.
His other question about the change in defensive coordinators, the Bills lost Mike Patton. They pick up Jim Schwartz. I don't know about stability. Let's face it. If Jim Schwartz gets a chance to be a head coach in the league next winter, he'd probably take that chance. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, by all means. I mean, and I wouldn't worry about it. You know, I think getting Jim Schwartz after losing Mike Patton was a pretty good get.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's you know, you can say what you want about him as a head coach, but, you know, he's had success as a defensive coordinator. And particularly the thing that I like, John, is that, you know, he's had successful teams defending the run, which, you know, is one of the issues, big issues with this defense. I mean, clearly, you know, they set a franchise record for sacks and put a lot of pressure. But I think, you know, the Achilles heel still was those occasions when they got gouged. And, you know, hopefully, you know, with Schwartz and his system and also, you know, the addition of Brandon Spikes, that, you know, they're addressing, you know, that weakness in their defense and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, but you're absolutely right. I mean, if he has, you know, if this is a lights out defense and there's an opening and somebody wants to take a chance on him, he's going to go. It's just the nature of the business, you know. And again, it's not like, you know, there are good people out there that you can replace them with. I mean, they're you know, so I look at this situation and they were pretty fortunate, I think, to get a former head coach who was a successful, you know, defensive coordinator.
Take one more call with Scott Pitoniak while he's with us. This is Derek in Boston. Derek, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, John. I just wanted to start off by saying how much I appreciate this app and enjoy listening to you every night as soon as I get a chance.
Thank you.
Now, with the season starting, Central playing left tackle, I think it could happen. I think he could do a good job. I'm really hoping Cordy Glenn comes into play. I hope that it's not a big issue with Cordy Glenn. I didn't listen to the first part of the show, so I would like you to inform me on exactly what's going on with Central. But once again, I just want to call and say how much I appreciate the app and how much I enjoy listening to. I think you do a great job with the Buffalo Bills, and it's great for me to listen from Boston.
Thanks, Derek. Thanks for calling, and thanks for your comments. So the story with Cordy Glenn is he's on the non-football illness list. He missed the end of OTAs and mini camps 4 weeks ago with an illness. We're not sure if it's the same one. He's undergoing more tests. Doug Whaley, the Bills general manager, said today that they don't anticipate it will be an illness that will threaten his season, but they're not sure, still waiting on tests to come back for his illness designation. And Whaley said to us last hour on the show, the interview we did with him, that going into camp, going into practice on Sunday, the seventh round pick Henderson would be the starter at left tackle. Scott, what's your take on all that? And a lot of people are ready to jump off the Peace Bridge. I think it's a little premature right now.
Yeah. It's a little premature. I mean, I was really impressed, you know, with Glenn, his progress, you know, at left tackle. It looked like, you know, this could be a really big season for him, you know. And so, and again, you hope that this is nothing serious and that, you know, he can get back. And, you know, but it'll go on. I mean, you know, things happen. Obviously, injuries happen all over the league. The next man up, approach has to take place. So, yeah, it's premature right now. They do have, I think they, you know, that Doug Brown is trying to, you know, get a bigger, stronger offensive line. We saw, you know, the way they drafted and so forth. So, we'll just have to wait and see what happens there. But it's certainly a blow. There's no question because, again, as I said, I thought Cordy Glenn was really, I thought he was really coming on.
Hey, Scott, I know you've been with us for a while, and I want to let you go. But before we let you go, I got to commend you and just ask you about the column you wrote today for Rochester Business Journal about Jim Kelly. You probably caught up with him when he had his one-day camp here at Fisher the other day. And you said, it's kind of a good point that you make. You point out that Jim Kelly's finest hours have come when the chips are down, when things look bleakest, which sort of applies to his current health situation.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you look back, and I feel terrible for the guy. I mean, we both, you know, we've covered his entire career and life after football here in Western New York and stuff. And obviously, you know, I mean, we knew how tough he was as a football player. We saw him take like just some of the most brutal hits and get right back up and keep coming back, you know. And we saw him endure the Super Bowl losses and so forth. And then beyond that, after that, of course, you know, the situation with his son Hunter and the hell that, you know, that family went through, you know, with Krabbe's disease and so forth. And, you know, I talked to Jim also about his mom, Alice, who, you know, was tethered to an oxygen tank with, you know, emphysema and would still come to games and the camper and everything. And yeah. Really was just such a big force in the lives of all the Kelly boys, and of course now, you know, what Jim's facing is you know, is as Jill has said, you know, is a battle for his life and stuff. But you know, it's been a pretty remarkable way he's handled this whole thing, I think, you know. And it's been, you know, not really inspirational, you know, but I just think, Jim has been genuinely touched by the amount of love, you know, that he's, you know, that he's received from people. And, you know, I actually went up and saw him at, you know, up at Sweet Home and stuff. And, okay. And I was actually encouraged, John, because, you know, he's frail, but, he just seemed to be, he looked and sounded better, you know, than he has in quite some time. And I think it did him a world of good, you know, being back on the football field with these kids. And, you know, he genuinely has always loved doing his camp. And I really think he's always loved being around kids. I mean, I always saw that throughout his career, that he was good with kids. And, you know, so hopefully, you know, hopefully he's going to get some great news, you know, when he goes down to Houston for that MRI next month. And, you know, hopefully the news is that there's no more cancer in his body, you know.
That's what we're all hoping for. Hey, Scott, thank you very much. We really appreciate you spending so much time with us tonight. I feel like you've almost welcomed us back to Rochester here to training camp. I know.
Yep, Scott. Well, go to Thirsty's there, John. You know, as Peter King from Sports Illustrated will tell you, that's he loves, you know, he loves this training camp site. And I do think it is one of the best in the National Football League. So welcome back to Rochester.
Thanks. Scott Petoniak, thanks for joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at Right Fielder. Scott Petoniak, a nationally honored sports writer, best-selling author of several books. He covers the AFC East for USA Today Sports Weekly and columnist on sports for the Rochester Business Journal. Does a lot down here in Rochester. We thank him very much for joining us tonight. Give us the Rochester perspective of the Bills' 15th year at training camp here at St. John Fisher College. Expect to have defensive back Aaron Williams joining us live next on the show. Stick around for that. You can phone in comments and questions for him. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO tonight live from training camp on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Night begins to descend on St. John Fisher College in Pittsburgh, New York. The Buffalo Bills training camp here at St. John Fisher. And Sunday night, two nights away, we'll have practice here at St. John Fisher College. 6 o'clock practice. Again, if you're looking for ticket information, you can go to Ticketmaster. And you'll have all the information you need about getting tickets for Sunday's workout. So the players are filing in. They have a deadline of midnight to check into training camp. One of them got in here very early today, and he has enough time out of his day, carved out enough time to join us on the line live right now, going into his fourth year as the anchor of that Buffalo Bills secondary. Defensive back Aaron Williams live on the line with us. Aaron, thank you very much for being with us tonight.
Hi, thanks for having you guys.
Hey, what do you do on a day and a night like this to get settled in? What kind of stuff do guys do to get ready for camp?
Well, funny that you said that is because I'm at Target right now grabbing some snacks and some supplies for I need for the locker room.
At Target? Really,
yeah, at Target right now.
Okay.
It's really about, you know, you're there. We're there for a while, so it's getting stuff prepared for not only on the field but also off the field. You know, you got to enjoy yourself when you're not worried about being the playbook or watching film. You know, some guys bring their Xbox and try to lay back and have an ease of mind, get ready for tomorrow. So little things like that matter.
Yeah, and you guys are here for a while. I mean, it's basically 5 weeks. That's as long a camp as I can remember in a long time, Aaron. Are players talking about that?
Yeah, I mean, of course, a lot of guys are talking about it. I mean, we can't control how long we stay. All we can control is how hard we work, and you know how much better we want to get as a team. And we're only focused on one goal, and that's to get better, have a great chemistry, and get back to the playoffs.
Defensive back Aaron Williams, our guest. We got a few minutes with him here. If you have a comment or a question, give us a ring. 803-0550, the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. Aaron, it seems pretty obvious, based on the last couple of months, the new contract you got, the comments that have been made by you and by the coaching staff, and even tonight by Doug Whaley, it seems pretty obvious that the Bills are trying to pass the mantle of leadership over to you during this offseason. They want you to be one of the big leaders on this defense.
Yeah, that's one of the main things they want. We talked about even before, you know, negotiating my contract. They asked me, you know, are you ready to really get into this role of being a leader? They really need somebody to come in, you know, losing guys, a guy like Bird. And I accepted that role, and I was ready for that role last year. And but knowing my personality, I was just sitting back and learning from Fred and Todd Williams. And Bird, even though Bird is a real quiet guy, there's different ways to lead this team. And I've learned that through a lot of guys with different personalities, and it really helped me out to understand, you know, what can I provide for next year.
And it seems like a lot of that comes from Coach Donnie Henderson. Of all the coaches on the staff, Aaron, it seems to me like he gets the attention of the players that he coaches. He has a way of doing that, and sometimes it's not warm and fuzzy, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, but Coach Henderson does a great job of excelling players' performance. And he allows us to do, you know, what we want, but at the same time, he teaches us the right techniques and the right fundamentals of being a better player. You know, he'll get it. He'll go down your throat and yell at you and you know, really get aggressive with you. But at the same time, you got to understand that you got to listen to the message and not the tone. And that's what I tell a lot of these rookie guys, because you know, some guys are not used to the, you know, loud, you know, really hyperactive coach like that. And, you know, after they get used to Donnie for a while, I mean, Donnie, you know, really warms up to you and excels and makes you a better person and a better player. I mean, Coach Henderson does a great job, and he's helped me out a lot since I've been here.
How much will you miss Bird? And you talked about his quiet leadership. He was a big playmaker. But how much do you think the back end of the defense will miss Jarris Bird?
I mean, we'll miss him a lot. I mean, his performance on the field was just unbelievable. I mean,
yeah.
You can check his stats now and see that he was a great deal of our record and how we perform as a defense and the way our overall defense stats were. And, you know, like I said, he was quiet. And, you know, there's certain things you can do to really show your presence without even speaking. Jarris Bird definitely showed that on the field. And the way he prepares for the game is phenomenal. And I don't think people realize how much hard work he puts in for Sundays. And I actually just sat back and grasped a lot of knowledge through that, and it's helped me the past year.
Hey, Aaron, at the end of the mini camps, Coach, your new coordinator, Jim Schwartz, was talking to the media. He was asked a question about you, and he immediately talked about what a big hitter you were in the secondary last year. That's an important role to play in the back end of the defense, isn't it?
I mean, I feel like any time you have an intensity moment like that that brings the team's momentum up, I feel like it's huge. You know, when you see a guy or one of your players, not only on the defensive side, but you know, when we see Fred Jackson run over somebody or CJ run over somebody or shake somebody or receiver catches a one-hander, it builds the momentum up. And that's one of the key things of winning games is having that momentum on our side. When you have big plays like that, it really encourages guys to get fired up and get ready to go out there and play. So, you know, big hits are great. And, you know, sometimes you got to be, you know, responsible and know when that big hit is. You know, I learned a lot last year. I tried to go through the big hit, and it cost the team 15 yards. So you gotta understand and be smart about the big hits. But at the same time, when you know that big hit's coming, it's going to build momentum, and that's what we need.
Well, camp is here, Aaron. I know you're getting excited about that, but did you have enough time in the off season to do what you wanted to do with the horses and everything?
Oh, absolutely. And I had a good time of riding horse with my buddy Shane Hanchy and hanging out with my buddy Tuff Cooper and everybody back home, and got to you know, cut some rug up a little bit and dance with just country songs and hit a couple concerts. So, you know, the off season was great, but to be honest with you, you know, it was longer than I expected, and it's now time to get back to work, get some pads, and start hitting some people.
All right. We'll look forward to seeing you out here Sunday night. Thanks for coming on with us, interrupting your shopping trip to Target. We'll see you out here this weekend. Thanks, Aaron.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Aaron Williams, Bill's safety, joining us on the line from Target, getting those essentials for his dorm room. I mean, face it, I'm going to probably have to make a stop at Target one of these days. You're going to be here for 5 weeks. You need stuff. I don't know what. You just need stuff. Jay Harris, producer, your first training camp with us, staying overnight. Do you have enough stuff in your room yet?
You do, and some of the things you forget, hand soap.
Oh, let me put that on my list.
Yes, so anything there's else? Little things that you
any
need
other
that
creams
you
or emollients that you forgot to bring?
Well, I don't need to discuss that. But there are little things that you forget.
Any ointments that you're bringing?
No. Can you take a look at this? But luckily, and I'll say this, my wife has been great. I came home last night, and I'm like, I haven't packed, I haven't done anything. And she goes, go look in your room. Not that I have a separate room, but my little guest room. And my bags were packed. Everything that I needed was there, including my shaving cream, my After Balm, toothbrush, a backup toothpaste, just in case.
Just no hand soap.
Huh?
No hand soap.
So.
All right. Maybe, you know what, get Aaron back on the line. Maybe he can pick some up for you at Target.
Yeah, you know what, let's call him, let's call him back. Yeah, we'll give him our shopping list.
Aaron, can you pick up? All right, thanks to Aaron Williams. Thanks to Jay Harris. We got time for more phone calls when we return. Phone lines are open, 803-0550. Toll free, the number to call, 1-888-550-2550. Come on back, give us a call. Let us know about your hopes and your expectations for Bills training camp or your questions. Haven't seen any practice out here yet, but we will on Sunday. Give us a call. We got a few minutes left when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from Bills Training Camp on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Couple of minutes left if you want to sneak in a phone call. Any questions, comments you might have about Bills Training Camp, we are here with the show tonight, wrapping up our first night here. We'll be back here on Monday night. Phone lines are open at 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. A lot of coverage of this training camp, obviously, over the next 5 weeks on BuffaloBills.com. And up on the website right now, Chris Brown and I with our video review of what went on here today, mostly a lot of talking. If you're the kind of person who likes to see that video of players hauling in big-screen TVs and video games and mattresses, we've got that up there for you, too. But also comments from Doug Whaley will be up on the website, along with Aaron Williams sound and several other players. So go to BuffaloBills.com. Bills Roundup is up right now, a review of the day's events here. The day's events here include a couple of things. The news on Kiko Alonso, he had successful surgery on his torn ACL. According to his agent, tweeted out today, quote, Kiko underwent successful surgery yesterday, Thursday, to repair his ACL. The surgery was performed by Dr. James Andrews. Of course, you've heard that name. He's one of the most renowned orthopedists in the country. Kiko tore his ACL back on July 1st in a workout back home. The word from Doug Whaley is Kiko is not expected to show up here at training camp, but when the Bills get back at to Orchard Park at the end of the preseason, they expect to have a look at Kiko then and check in with him at that point. I believe Kiko is going to start his rehab out in Oregon, in Eugene, Oregon. Some roster moves today. The Bills released a couple of players, wide receiver Cordell Roberson and cornerback Darius Robinson. Robinson, an undrafted rookie out of Clemson, didn't play much during the OTAs and minicamps with a shoulder injury. Cordell Roberson spent time on the Bills' practice squad last year, and he missed some time in the spring with an undisclosed injury. And the other news today, and it's not good news, but I think it's too early to panic, the news on Cordy Glenn, starting left tackle, from Doug Whaley today, that the Bills made the announcement the other day that Cordy Glenn was on the non-football illness list. He remains there, and Doug Whaley says he will just get some exercise in on the side at the start of this training camp. Whaley says the Bills do not believe it to be a season-threatening illness, but they'll get more tests back and figure out where to proceed from there. In the meantime, and you heard Whaley say it on our show, in the meantime, they've got rookie seventh-round draft pick Chantrell Henderson ready to line up and go with the first teamers at left tackle. Some people on Twitter are already overreacting, I think. David Chesborough, holy crap, first Kiko, now this? Is this season already going down the toilet? Let's wait and see. Let's wait and see. He continues, if Glenn misses the whole season, I'll be convinced that the team is cursed. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I don't have any more information about Cordy Glenn's illness. Again, according to the general manager, it's not believed to be a season-threatening illness. So we'll see. We'll see what they say about it on Sunday after practice. Should get a chance to talk to head coach Doug Marrone on Sunday. The practice Sunday starts at 6. You can still get tickets online. If you go to Ticketmaster and look for Bills practice tickets, it'll fill you in on all the details about Sunday's nighttime practice. You need a ticket for that. Then they're back on the field next Monday for an afternoon practice at 2 o'clock. You don't need tickets for there. The schedule next week, Monday afternoon, 2 o'clock. Tuesday and Wednesday morning, 8 a.m., off on Thursday, and then a night practice a week from tonight on Friday. Our first night is in the books. We want to thank you very much for listening tonight. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO. Family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Our engineer back in Buffalo is TJ Luckman. Our engineer here at camp is Paul Stachowiak. And our producer is Jay Harris. Jeff Matthews, the Bills Director of Broadcasting. See you Monday night. Have a great weekend. Monday night with the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from training camp on Buffalo Bills Radio.